Jaya Radha Madhava Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this morning we're continuing with the chapter entitled The Pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. So that is Canto 9, Chapter 10. And the text that we'll be reading today is 52 and 53, and 53 is on the board, since 52 doesn't have a purport and they're interconnected. So I'm going to read text 52 and then proceed to text 53. Vanani Nadyo Garayo Varshani Dvipa Sindhava Sarvakame Duga San Prajanam Bharata Shapa. And the translation for that text, 52, is as follows. O Maharaj Parikshit, best of the Bharata dynasty, during the reign of Lord Ramachandra, the forests, the rivers, the hills and mountains, the states, the seven islands and the seven seas were all favorable in supplying the necessities of life for all living beings. And text 53. Nadi vyadi chara glani Dukha shoka baya klamaha Mirtyus chanis chatam nashid Rame rajani adokshaje Nadi vyadi chara glani Dukha shoka baya klamaha Mirtyus chani chatam nashid Rame rajani adokshaje Nadi vyadi chara glani Dukha soka baya klamaha Mirtyus chani chotam nashid Rame rajani adokshaje Nadi vyadi chara glani Dukha shoka baya klamaha Mirtyus chani chatam nasid Rame rajani adokshaje Nadi vyadi chara glani dukkha shokha vaya klamaha mityus chani chatam nasit rame rajani adoksha je nadi vyadi charaklani dukkha shokha vaya klamaha mityus chani chatam nasit rame rajani adoksha je nadi vyadi charaklani dukkha shokha vaya klamaha mityus chani chatam nasit rame rajani adoksha je. Say the word for word translation. Na, not. Adi, adiatmika, adibhautika, and adidaivika, sufferings. That is, sufferings from the body and mind, from other living entities, and from nature. Vyadi, diseases, jara, old age, glani, bereavement, dukkha, grief, soka, lamentation, vaya, fear, klamaha, and fatigue, mrtya, death, cha, also, anichatam, of those who did not like it. Naasit, there was not. Rame, during the rule of Lord Ramachandra. Rajani, because of his being the king. Adokshaje, the supreme personality of Godhead, who is beyond the material world. Om agyanati marandasya gananjana shlakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha namo vishnupadaya krishna prasaya bhutale srimati ramapadaswami tinamine namo vishnupadaya krishna prasaya bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Dinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschitya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakalpits Rubyas Shakri Pasandubhya Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnebhyo Namo Namaha. So I'll read the translation and the purport. So this is text 53. When Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was the king of this world, all bodily and mental sufferings, disease, old age, bereavement, lamentation, distress, fear, and fatigue were completely absent. There was even no death for those who did not want it. Purport. All these facilities existed because of Lord Ramachandra's presence as the king of the entire world. A similar situation could be introduced immediately, even in this age called Kali, the worst of all ages. It is said, Kali Kale Nama Rupe Krishna Avatara. Krishna descends in this Kali Yuga in the form of his holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. If we chant offenselessly, Rama and Krishna are still present in this age. The kingdom of Rama was immensely popular and beneficial, and the spreading of this Hare Krishna movement can immediately introduce a similar situation even in this Kali Yuga. So, Srila Prabhupada's making this comparison between the absence of difficulty because of the presence of Lord Ramachandra as the king of the whole world, and the absence of difficulty at the present time because of the descent of Krishna in the form of his holy name. So I'm going to look at this from a little bit different perspective from what came immediately. So hopefully I can tie it up all together. Lord Ramachandra's presence is such that at the time we've gone through the abbreviated version of the whole narration from Sukadev Goswami, and this section that's coming now, he's actually already retrieved Sita, and in referencing Valmiki's Ramayana, soon after that, Lord Ramachandra actually makes this very interesting request. And he makes the request of the demigods to reveal something of the mysteries of his being. So we get to hear first, when he's making this request, Lord Ramachandra presents his view of himself. And this is just prior to his request, and he actually requests Lord Brahma to speak of him so that people will understand particularly one point about his personality, and that point that Lord Ramachandra wants Lord Brahma to be able to touch upon is that he, Lord Ramachandra, has a great deal of devotion to those who are serving him. So this is how he presents himself. He says, "The Lord of the countless worlds, the joy and the delight of all beings, he who impels all to discharge their duties." And this wasn't sufficient for Lord Ramachandra. So he's presenting these facts about himself. And he asks Lord Brahma, who's Lord Ramachandra considers to be a personality that's adored by everybody, that he must please give expression to his greatness in this world. So this is interesting, Lord Ramachandra wanting Lord Brahma to speak about his greatness. So, and of course this is, you know, following on all his, this tremendous narration. We didn't get it so much here, but how he actually slayed Ravana, how he went through the whole process of building the bridge to Lanka, his interactions with the monkey warriors. So it's all very, very extraordinary, and already is giving us some picture of Lord Ramachandra, but he requires Lord Brahma to give expression to his greatness in this world. So um, This is something of how Lord Brahma expresses his devotion to Lord Ramachandra too. So he says, Lord Rama, of unfailing valor, hear me speak words of utter truth. You abide in the primal matter, Nara, and the individual souls, and you are named Narayan, the inner ruler thereof. The Shruti tells us that in the beginning there was Narayan and none other, neither Brahma nor Ishvara nor this earth and sky. So there's a comment in Valmiki Ramayana. So it's interesting. Lord Brahma begins with a much broader view of who Lord Ramachandra is. You know, he could have gone into his exploits, but he doesn't. He actually goes to the very beginning of everything, when nothing was existing, neither the earth nor the sky. And he begins in this way because he's in some sense replying to an invisible argument that the evolution of the universe doesn't fit in with him who has no desire to fulfill. So it means Lord Ramachandra has some desire to fulfill, hence the universe takes place. So Lord Brahma continues, you evolve, preserve, and involve the entire universe as if it were child's play to you. Yet, and this is Lord Brahma, yet even a child has some object in view. It follows that even the perfect one has to engage himself in action. So you can see he's setting the scene of who the Supreme Personality of Godhead actually is. Because there has to be an explanation for why he engages in all these actions. So he's the personality who's evolving the universe, he's preserving it, he's involving the entire universe in his play, so to speak. And I'm going to contrast this a little bit with how Lord Ramachandra speaks of himself. He says, I am born as the son of King Dasarath. My name is Ram. I am but a man among men. This should be understood to mean, in the highest world, Sri Vaikuntha, I express myself in my eternal state in the fullness and beauty of the divine form and attributes. Yes, that pleases me not. I prefer to be born as a man among men and be one of you. Again, they have named me Ram, and that name is ever dear to me. Again, boundless is my joy at being born into this world as the son of the illustrious King Dasarath. Who am I? To whom do I belong? What is my purpose here? And he asked Lord Brahma, open my eyes to these points. Sugriva and others do not know that I am Vishnu coming down among men. Reveal unto them my inner self, that they may believe me. It is pleasing to be known as the Prince of Ayodhya. All wise, as you are, speak to these clearly, and as you have understood my Supreme Self. So this is actually what Lord Ramachandra wants to have be communicated to everybody. This is following all these exploits, all these actions he's performed. This is actually what he wants to have be communicated about him. So I'm touching on this because of the verse today having highlighted a certain condition that's existing because of the existence of Lord Ram. So I actually want to touch on Lord Ram's view of himself and what he wants people to understand of him. So, going back to Lord Brahma. So, having praised the Lord by the extraordinary divine names that pertain to his supreme state, he proceeds to describe the next stage of manifestation as Lakshmi Narayan. And there's a little bit on that. And then finally, Lord Brahma says, you are Brahman. And he explains or he defines what Brahman is, Lord Brahma does. He says, it grows and causes other things to grow. Hence, it is known as Parabrahman Shruti. You are ever associated with Lakshmi. The chakra or disc is your weapon. You pervade everything. You are the primal manifestation. You are the boar with a single horn. So Lord Brahma is really moving at quite a speed. Not only has he identified Lord Brahma as the supreme spirit, something that grows and causes all other things to grow, but he goes on to say, the chakra or disc is your weapon. You pervade everything. You are the primal manifestation. And then the comparison with his previous incarnations. You are the boar with a single horn. The boar lifted up the great mountains with one of its tusks. Origin, manifestation, growth, change, decrease, and disintegration. Touch it not, hence it is Satya. He is ever present in the beginning, middle, and the end of countless universes. Hence it is Nitya. He is Dharma. That brings everything good and auspicious down to the world. For he has his forces in all quarters. So this is the point that we're coming to in this verse. Lord Brahma is describing something of the eternality of Lord Ramachandra and the goodness that he is. He's Satya because he's not touched by the regular material development, if you can say development, because everything of a material nature has a beginning, it shows itself, it grows, it changes. It decreases and then it disintegrates. That's the normal course of anything material. But he's saying Lord Ramachandra is not touched by any of that process because he's in goodness. And he also calls him the epitome of religion or dharma because of the very fact that he brings everything good and auspicious to this world. And that was the listing over here in this verse today, everything good and auspicious that Lord Ram is bringing to the world. And Lord Brahma continues. The language is a little bit archaic. This is how Valmiki Ramayana is. So hopefully it's coming across clearly. He's Vivakshena, the leader of the hosts everywhere. So, you give at one and the same time the four aims of life, and hence you are forearmed. The Bose Saranga that you wield is the spirit of time with which you are ever ready to protect your devotees. So, this is Lord Brahma's explanation to everybody who Lord Ramachandra is. And Lord Brahma is stating is that very point that Lord Ram has asked him to highlight, and that is that he is always in that position of service to those that are devoted to him. So he's fulfilling the aims of life, he's bringing all things good and auspicious, he's using his weapons always ready to protect his devotees. So it means Lord Ram has been put into this this picture has been painted by Lord Brahma that he's in the position of performing service to those that are devoted to him. Then this point that Lord Ramachandra is to be understood as bringing everything good and auspicious to this world, these things are listed. It's the absence of bodily and mental suffering, diseases, old age, bereavement, lamentation, distress, fear, and fatigue. So, you know, Generally, one is very conscious of these, the presence of these very things in the material world that we're existing in. And these are the most prominent things on a personal level. One is very much aware of one's bodily and mental sufferings. One may go through diseases. One observes others going through different diseases. One observes so many persons who are experiencing old age and all the difficulties of old age. I mean, one just has to look around. One sees persons struggling to walk or struggling to articulate, struggling to hear, struggling to even take care of themselves when old age is there. There's a problem of bereavement, means that death has taken place with somebody that one is attached to. So there's tremendous sense of loss and suffering, so bereavement, grief. There's fear and there's fatigue. So Srila Prabhupada describes fear as having to do with when one looks around, there's some problem that one's having to deal with. And then the fear comes that even if one solves that problem, one doesn't know what next problem is on the horizon. So this is the fear that one is constantly carrying. What is the next problem that one's going to have to deal with? I mean, I can tell you, like for instance, I'm in the process of having to move physically to a new location. So, you know, in my mind, there's a whole checklist of things that have to be done. You know, a place has to be painted, floors have to be scraped. Then there's a physical moving of furniture objects. Then there's the thing of thinking, okay, in the future, I'm going to have to think of how to get the subway to reach the temple on time. I mean, there's a whole list of things that have to be confronted, a list of problems. And there's some fear because one doesn't know if it'll work out as one hopes it will work out. So, and then this idea of fatigue. Fatigue means, you know, one has been struggling and then tiredness sets in. So, and these are the very things that are supposed to be completely eliminated when Lord Ramachandra comes to this world. and the reason that these things are eliminated when Lord Ramachandra comes to this world is that all those material things, all these things that are described have to do with the material body. So Lord Ramachandra's being Satya personified or goodness personified, which is Lord Brahma's, one of the three things he says of Lord Ramachandra, means that the existence on a material plane is almost negligible. So that usual growth, change, decrease, disintegration for the material body is not actually happening. Everybody's existing on the spiritual plane. And this is further described. Lord Brahma says, he makes a comparison with Lord Krishna, and or sort of refers to Lord Ramachandra in his incarnation as Lord Krishna, and says, so these are some of those internal obstructions that get destroyed. You, the destroyer of Madhu, Kataiba, and the other asuras of yore, as also you are the destroyer of Shishupal, Dhanvakara, and the others to come. Your forms are eternal. So, just by virtue of the fact that Lord Brahma makes the connection between Lord Ramachandra and Lord Krishna, it allows one also to make a connection with Krishna's statement on the topic of those that are devoted to him, because that's what Lord Ramachandra is looking for from Lord Brahma. So, this is how Krishna puts this very point. He says, intelligent persons who are endeavoring for liberation from old age and death take refuge in me in devotional service. So this is that spiritual plane. They are actually Brahman because they entirely know everything about transcendental activities. So this description of Lord Ramachandra and the whole environment that gets created by his bringing goodness into the world is easily understood when one understands that everybody has actually taken to transcendental activities, meaning service, devotional service to Lord Ramachandra. So it means that they are Brahman or spirit. And this is what Krishna says, that they are actually Brahman because they entirely know everything about transcendental activities. So they're existing on a transcendental plane. It's completely, their lives are in service to Lord Ramachandra. So they're living as spirit souls. So those that are devoted to serving Lord Ram and Lord Krishna in their spiritual bodies have no birth, death, old age and disease because they're liberated from the entrapment of the material body with its degenerative changes culminating in death. So this is actually the extraordinary occurrence that by becoming Krishna conscious, Lord Ram and Lord Krishna allow for persons to actually literally enjoy spiritual association with them. So this is that liberation from all that material suffering related to the body, both external and internal. So the degeneration of the physical body, the suffering on the subtle level, the fears, the mental distress. I'm going to read the Sanskrit of the statement of Lord Krishna's in Bhagavad Gita. And we hear the same word from the verse today, the old age, jara marana mokshaya mam saritya yatantiye te brahma tadvidu krishnam adiyatmam karma chakitam. And there's another aspect of Lord Ramachandra that Lord Brahma describes, and this touches something on the attraction that's there for all spirit souls to the Supreme Soul. And he says, your divine form and beauty is enough to steal away the hearts of all. So this is in some sense another way that Lord Ramachandra is serving by his beauty and his divine form, because it's allowing for the attraction of the spirit soul. Or the spirit souls. And Lord Brahma says a further thing about Lord Ramachandra. He says, you are Purusha, as abiding in the heart cave of all beings. They behold Purusha as reclining in the cave of the heart. So this is part of what happens behind the scenes, so to speak, that's not stated in this verse. Through that falling away of all that material degeneration of the body, there's spiritual development that allows one to start to actually visibly see the Lord residing, as Lord Brahma puts it, in the cave of the heart. And I'm here before everything, hence my name, Purusha. So this is Lord Ramachandra. It's a little interplay. Lord Brahma's speaking something, and it does, and in the Valmiki Ramayana, it's a thought is coming. It's as though Lord Brahma is speaking it, but one hears it must be Lord Ramachandra communicating, because it's immediately following this description of Lord Ramachandra, there's a statement, I'm here before everything, hence my name, Purusha. So that Purusha pervades and protects, for I am its ruler, eternal, and this is known in the world and in the Vedas as the Purushottama. You are the protector of those that seek you, and there is none to cross your path. So Lord Brahma again is highlighting this very great protective role that Lord Ramachandra is playing. So that protection that Lord Ramachandra is giving is the protection from lamentation and distress and fear. So his protection lies in persons coming to this understanding that they are eternally unchangeable souls, and that they actually are atomic in relation to that infinite supreme soul. So one has to come to that understanding to automatically have that protection from the lamentation, distress, and fear. So why this kind of understanding influences one's whole outlook is that one stops grieving for things in relation to the body, because all the things in relation to the body cause grief. I mean, to see the body disintegrating, to actually be losing loved ones, to be losing the loss of the usage of one's senses, all these things cause some sort of grief if one's identifying strongly with it. So just actually coming to the understanding that one is an unchangeable soul. As a soul, none of this disintegration is happening. It's just an external disintegration. So that is the protection that actually has been provided by Lord Ramachandra. It's that freedom from that lamentation, which comes with looking upon oneself as being that perishable external physical body. So finally, moving to the comparison that's been made of Lord Ramachandra's presence and the ease of everything just by his presence in the environment, and the ease that results from chanting the Maha Mantra, which is what Srila Prabhupada is pointing to in the purport, and that's a comparison that's been made. So, because naturally, it's not that there's ease in this material world of any kind. It's an extremely difficult place. It's a place of great struggle. So, the Maha Mantra is considered to be the purest representation of Krishna. So by the presence of the Maha Mantra, Lord Ramachandra, who gives transcendental pleasure, and Krishna, who gives liberation from the hard struggle that's going on in the material world, one is put into a transcendental position. And that transcendental position is the hara part. So the incarnation of Lord Ram and the incarnation of God, Krishna, as the Maha Mantra, is his incarnation in a sound form. So a very subtle incarnation. And in the strictest sense, one can say that the Maha Mantra is not a representation of God, but rather it's his sound incarnation. So he's literally present. He's not just represented by, you know, sometimes it comes to my mind, you know, one always has series of images that have sort of got imprinted on one's mind. So when I was 5 years old, I remember attending going to school, and the first thing that I noticed in the classroom around the edges of the wall was, you know, the whole alphabet A through Z, and then there was a pictorial representation of the letter. So let's say the Z, because of being in Africa, it wouldn't be like here. I think the Z is used for zoo. Over there, everything is in relation to animals because of it being so close to nature. So, you know, the Z and zebra. So now the Maha Mantra it's not a representation of Krishna, like, you know, something separate from him that just represents him, that one sees a picture of him or one hears the sound and thinks, oh, this is Krishna. Not like that. He's literally present in the sound. And the reason he presents himself in sound or incarnates in sound is because of this problem that exists in the material world, this reliance on the material senses. So we rely on our eyes to be able to see. So we're not actually able to see spirit. So in order to be able to see spirit, we need to actually be able to hear. And this means that the internal vision is developed. And so it means that the material senses start to get spiritualized. And internally, the vision to see Krishna in his sound representation comes to be there. And this is very similar to Lord Brahma in the description that I've read to you from Valmiki Ramayan, which was at Lord Ramachandra's request. Lord Brahma is allowing us to see something of how his spiritual vision has developed, how he is understanding and seeing Lord Ramachandra. So it's a similar thing. We get that opportunity to develop that internal spiritual vision where we can see Krishna and understand him. So so it just requires that association with the transcendental sound vibration of the Maha Mantra. And as a result of that association with the Maha Mantra, one actually becomes godly. So it means that one is free from the regular material distresses related to the body. And that's the listing in this verse. It says, all bodily and mental suffering, disease, old age, bereavement, lamentation, distress, fear and fatigue, all of these actually fall away. Our activities become spiritualized, and the whole makeup of our existence is spiritualized through the association with the sound incarnation. And so it is from that point of view that that comparison can be made by Srila Prabhupada, that the literal presence of Lord Ramachandra that eliminated all these distresses related to the physical body and the subtle body is equally possible in this age of suffering that we're living in a material form, just because of our association with that sound incarnation of Lord Krishna. So these were some thoughts in relation to the verse today. If there's any comment or query that can expand our discussion.
Thank you for class. It's really nice points. I was wondering, especially kind of like old age, I guess we still see that that pure devotees experience old age and disease and things like that. So I'm wondering, but they experience it, but they're beyond it, basically. So is that the same thing as that in this, when Lord Ramachandra is present, that maybe these things are still there, but they're just beyond it, or they're not affected by it?
Okay, so the question is, is this description of these sufferings, diseases, old age, is it actually present, that these things are present at the time of Lord Ramachandra, but just like drawing from an example in our experience that pure devotees may still go through old age or disease, it's just that they're beyond it. So is that the case also with the people in under Lord Ramachandra? That's the question. Well, the material world means that one has a material physical form, so it's corporeal. It occupies space, and it's equipped with senses that are functioning the way the physical body is designed, like with the limitations connected to the composition of the body. So one's hand for touch can reach out so far, or one's eyesight is restricted according to a certain angles that are permitted. So one doesn't have 360 degree vision, one may have an 160 degree vision. Then there's the fact that the physical mechanism is designed in such a way that over time there's a slowing in the various the functioning of the various organs within the body. So it's a known thing that you know, after 40, the digestive apparatus is not functioning so well. So the fire of digestion is not very good. So just with the fire of digestion not being so good, everything in the body is affected by that. So there's, I guess what I'm alluding to is the fact that just by the makeup, the physical makeup of the body, it is designed in a way to go through degeneration. So the degeneration brings about the diseases. If something's not functioning as it should be functioning, then something has to collapse or give in. So that's just how it's designed. So one could say that yes, the body, the physical body, has to go through the processes it's meant to go through according to the lifespan. So the child's body has to go through growth. The teenage body has to grow through growth. The body has to degenerate somewhere after the being 50 years old, where everything is slowed down and diseases start to set in. And then there's the statement here that actually these things don't happen, and that they were not happening at the time of Lord Ramachandra. If one is looking at persons that are fully in that position of understanding themselves as being that spirit soul that's transcendent to the physical body, then those persons, at least we may witness in the present time, may go through some disease or may go through old age. So it would indeed imply that even if the entire population in Lord Ramachandra's time was existing in physical bodies, there would have to be that natural degeneration of the body. But the fact that it's highlighted that those things were not existing would I indeed, I would say, indicate the consciousness being quite fixed on oneself being a spirit soul? Yes. So there was not association with the illusory energy. The illusory energy didn't feature. So the difficulty at the present time is that we constantly fall prey to the illusory energy, and so we do start to identify with our bodies, and so we need a lot of support from those that are also focusing on growing spiritually and proceeding with the chanting of the Maha Mantra to help us to not fall into identifying with the physical body. And so the environment of Lord Ramachandra's was such that the entire society was functioning with the same aim. So the support is incredibly strong, so the tendency to fall into, under the spell of the illusory energy and then hence fall into lamentation or fear, that was curtailed much more easily. So, yeah, that's, you would be correct in actually saying that those the physical corporeal body is there, but it's just not identifying with it that allowed for it to, so to speak, not be there. Yeah. But in a very clear, distinct, and entire society kind of way. That's why the statement can be made so strongly. In our case, we like little pockets of persons, and the broader structure is not supporting the that identification with oneself as being that unchangeable spirit soul. In fact, the entire culture puts an emphasis on the corporeal part. In fact, very greatly, everything from the emphasis of gyms and health foods and vitamins and it's the emphasis on the corporeal. Yeah. If there isn't anything else, thank you very much for your kind attention. Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.